So the title of what I want to share tonight is called In Christ, for those of you who are taking notes. And then I have a little brackets next to it. In Christ, my hope is found. Right. Where should I keep the mic? Zian, where is it going to work the best? Close to my chin. I'll keep it on my chin. All right. All right. So a few months ago, I had a conversation with a good friend who is not going to be named. And I can do a whole topic on this good friend just because I'll... legendary he is. But anyways, we had a I have permission from him to use our conversation as a launch pad of what I want to share tonight. So we had a conversation, and the person was just mentioning that he or she, I'm not going to say the gender even, I'm going to, huh? That, yeah, you, what did I say? Oh, goodness. Anyways, you know, okay, the person desires just more of God, you know, and there's a lot of scriptures that point to that, like Paul's prayer in one of the letters that he writes. He says, may you know the depth, the height, the width, the breadth of God's love. You know, there's so much more we can know about God, and for eternity, we will look at Him and continually say, holy, 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 because there is no end to His majesty, His glory, and His beauty. But in our conversation, as we chatted a bit, the Lord tucked my heart just to ask a few questions. And the first question that I asked the person was, and it's not, yeah, I'm just going to ask the questions, but the question I asked was, do you have Jesus? Do you know Him? Are you saved? And the answer came back, yes, because obviously I knew the person was saved. But anyways, I asked the question. I felt the Lord put the question in my heart. And the second question I asked was, well, how do you know you are saved? And then together we looked at a few scriptures. For example, we're not going to have it on the board now. It's like John 1 verse 12, which says, all who believe in Jesus is given the right to become children of God. And Romans 8 verse 14 says, all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, the Holy Spirit is a seal and a guarantee. But anyways, we chatted a little bit after that, and basically the conversation landed at this point. You know, if we have Jesus, and if we are children of God, we lack nothing because Jesus is perfect and all-sufficient. What more do we want? What more are we contending for? You know, so yes, we will deepen in our knowledge, like I mentioned, and we will grow in Christ. But if we have Him, we already have everything that we need. All right, so let's look at a scripture that says that. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. It says, His divine power has granted us all things. Say all things. That's all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. All right, then the next scripture is Ephesians 1 verse 3 that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every, say every. Every spiritual blessing, blessings in the heavenly places. So we have everything that we need in Christ. There's nothing more we need if you are in Christ, if you're saved. All right, so now I'm going to get into what I want to share tonight. So this thing about, you know, the conversation about more, you know, that we had is not a unique one. You know, over the last few years, there have been a lot of conversations that I had with people and a lot of prayers that have been prayed that go something in the line of this. You know, God is calling you to the more, right? God, we want more of You. A lot of stuff like that. So in fact, if you've been in Josh Gen for longer than a few months, you probably have heard it said, we need to walk in the more, you know, that God has for you. We need to, and I've probably been one of those guys who've encouraged you to say, you need to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. All right, but here's the golden question for tonight. What does it even mean? What does the more even mean? Right, I can go around in this room and I can ask each person. It's maybe going to mean something different if you don't know where it comes from. So let's go into where it comes from. So I'm not going to share a whole sermon on this. I just want to quickly share where it comes from. So Andrew and Emma Selly planted a church called Joshua Generation, which we are part of. All right, it's just like Joshua went into the promised land, into what God would call Israel to. In the same way, we as a church believe we need to take a hold of what God is calling us to, corporately and individually. So there is an inheritance, all right, and just with the word inheritance, it means you cannot earn it. It's something that is given to you by the death of someone, and that person is Jesus. So there is an inheritance that we need to take a hold of by the grace and power of God, not our own strength. All right, so there definitely is more for you in Jesus. Firstly, if you don't know Jesus, there is more for you in Jesus. But because to know Jesus is freedom, it is life, it is eternal hope and eternal life. It's relationship with God right now, as opposed to no hope and total despair and eternal separation from God if you are not in Christ, no? If you're not saved. And secondly, the more in Christ for those who are saved is simply becoming more like Jesus. Maturing in Him, fulfilling the purpose He created you for, which is His will. Not my will, not my ministry dream. Now, how do we do this? Well, by remaining in Him. We said this in worship, I believe somebody prayed it. By remaining in Him, abiding in Him, by loving Him, obeying Him, following His voice. So hopefully that's an alright-ish explanation, just to give you guys an idea where it comes from. Does it make sense? If you don't understand it, we can chat a bit afterwards. But here's the problem with the more, if we don't understand the context, or if we even forget the context. So in this world, we are taught one thing. Enough is never enough. Now in this world, the more always means growth in stature. It always means expansion. It always means upward and onward. Bigger is always better. Go big or go home. You need to work to become the best you can be. You need to reach the highest levels. You need to climb the highest mountains. You need to climb those corporate ladders. Only then will you be good enough. Only then will you be successful. And only then will you have purpose and value. All right, that's why I play golf. Because in golf, you need to aim as low as you can go. And we all know the lower you go, the humbler you are. So that's amazing. But anyways, that's my only dad joke for tonight. Moving on. But the problem is, if we are not careful, the more, out of context, in church can also be those corporate ladders. I need to work my way up from saint level to apostle level. And wherever I find myself in between the level of saint and or apostle, depending on the size of my ministry or my influence or the platform that I have, that will determine how valuable and how important I feel I am in God's kingdom. I need to fast as much as I can. I need to chastise myself as much as I can. I need to beat my body into submission. I need to jump as high as I can in worship. I need to sing as loud as I can. I need to bow as low as I can. I need to work as hard as I can and to grow and get to the more in God. We start with Christ and then we move onto ministry, and we do the things of God without giving regard to the God of all things. I'm going to say it again. We move on to ministry. We start with Christ, move on to ministry, do the things of God without giving regard to the God of all things. We also start to compete with one another in order to climb the ministry ladder and reach the more. That, dear friends, is how striving and jostling comes in. Kala and Grant Baker was here a few months ago, and they touched on this. They touched on this. For our church, they said, be careful for striving and jostling. The more, most probably, will mean the opposite of what we are thinking. It means less of me, less of my ministry, less of my giftings, more of Christ. In fact, that's exactly what it means. Not my will, not my way, but your will be done, God. Like John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Now, just a quick side note here, I'm not gunning for anyone here tonight. Just saying that if it feels like I'm gunning, I'm not gunning. But I want to say especially, I'm not gunning for people who just fully want to live for God with everything that they have. We just have zeal and passion for the King. That is amazing and that is beautiful. And I'm also not saying to anybody here tonight, be passive, hang back, and stay away from works. Faith requires action. But the motives of our action should always be, I seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. His kingdom and His righteousness. Not building a ministry or finding value in the affirmations from men. When we live in this way of seeking the more, as we are taught to do in this world, what happens is our identity starts to form around function and purpose. I am an elder. I am a prophet, a worship leader. The world works the same way. I am an accountant. I am whatever. Whatever we want to put in that bracket over there, that is not our identity. Our identity is in the blood of the Lamb. Our identity is being children of God. Now, I want to just caveat a little bit here. Paul does write in his letters and he says, I, Paul, servant of Christ. That servant's actually slave, called to be an apostle. There is something of the calling that God has on your life that is tied into your identity. But first things first, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. That is who you are. Because this worldly way of thinking, of forming our identity around function or purpose, whatever it is, actually causes us to look down on just being a saint, which is to be a child of God. This worldly way of thinking diminishes and despises my true identity in Christ, which is to be a precious child of God. And it might sound harsh, what I'm sharing tonight, but I've been guilty of thinking in this way. I need to check my heart regularly and not think in this way. That is why the Bible teaches us not to think sober, to think soberly of ourselves. We need to retrain our brains by the power of Christ and not conform to the patterns of this world, as Romans 12 teaches us. I want to encourage us tonight, don't trade your identity for ministry or being an influencer or a leader. My purpose is not my identity. My purpose is to walk in the will of God, and He, the emphasis on He, has a plan and a purpose for my life. It is not my plan and my purpose. It is not me thinking that I am the chosen one or the next best thing since sliced bread. No, who I am is a child of God. And guys, I want to say that fact is massively significant. I'm going to repeat myself a little bit here tonight, but that is massively significant. The fact that we are children of God. Before the foundations of the world, God had a plan and a purpose for you, His child. And He is well pleased in that plan for your life. And it is incredibly special and valuable. The problem is, if we don't start with being a child of God, just simply loving God, our Father, being affirmed by God, we will find our affirmations in other places. That will pull us away from our identity of being a child of God. I want to encourage you today. God affirms you. God affirms you. You are His child. That is the starting point. And only when that is in place and remains in place, then only the second affirmation of you belong and you are so well loved and appreciated in this church, only then will that be healthy for you. We need to affirm, as Steve said, and honor one another for our part in the body. The Bible teaches us to encourage one another. But if the first great affirmation is not in place, and we seek our affirmations in people, in ministry, in work, whatever we want to put there, that's when things go pear-shaped. Because what happens when our ministry, or whatever we build our identity around, gets taken away from us, for whatever reason? Will we still love the same? Will we still be the same? Will we still serve God the same, love people the same, love God the same? If I'm not rooted in Christ as a child of God, then I cannot stay the same if my leadership, my ministry, or whatever I build my identity around falls away. But if I am rooted in Christ as a child of God, I cannot be shaken. Who I am cannot be taken away from me. It is in Christ, and no one can snatch me out of His hands. And Paul in his letters shows that he understood this. He said, I'm a Jew of Jew. I climbed the ministry ladders and I was the best. If someone wants to come and boast in the flesh, I am better. But I count everything as a loss. Gemors. Compared to knowing Christ. And then later on he says, I only want to be found in Christ. That is all that is important to me. Let's read that, Philippians 3, verse 5. This is Paul writing about himself. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, the Jew of Jews there. As to the law, a Pharisee, the top notch knower of the law. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, I followed the letter. As to righteousness under the law, blameless, chona. But whatever gain I had, I counted it as a loss for the sake of Christ. So the ministry, everything that I had, I counted as a loss. Indeed, I count everything, not just my ministry, my whole life, everything that I am, everything that I have, I count it as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. That is the most important thing. The more out of context is what we need to be careful of. I want to say it tonight, it is a scheme of the enemy. That you are only important and have value if you are a leader or if you have influence. And the greater your leadership position or influence, the better. And you need to do stuff in order to appease God so that he will give more of himself to you. Only when you get 100% for your exam in theology will God say, I love you and I'm proud of you. Now you can have my presence. No. We already have everything we need in Christ. He is enough. He is enough. To be in Christ, to become a child of God, is the best thing that can ever happen to you. The words in Christ appear plus minus 90 times in the Bible. And the words in him, referring to Christ, appears plus minus 200 times in the Bible. So it is quite an important part of being a Christian. Go use AI or something. I don't know what you want to use. Let it summarize everything for you. Go search the scriptures. It will change you. But I want to highlight three things of what it means to be in Christ. What it means to be a child of God. To be in Christ means salvation for you and me. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For our sake, he, the Father, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, in him we have the redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. The Father put the sins of the world on his Son, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and he died in our place. Romans 3 says, we all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and Jesus took that on himself so that we don't have to die. He took it on himself. He came to save us. He came to set us free. The second thing that what it means to be in Christ is identity. John 1 verse 12, let's read it. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Galatians 3 verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Colossians 3 verse 3 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then lastly, I want to highlight God gives us purpose. Just going to read one scripture on that. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And he's pleased in those good works. He's pleased in that. Now, just in case I missed anything of what it means to be in Christ, I just have a few bullet points here that I'm going to quickly read. We are justified just as if we never sinned because we are in Christ. We are being sanctified because we are in Christ, made more like Jesus. We are loved as adopted children because we are in Christ. We are forgiven because we are in Christ. We have every need supplied because we are in Christ. We are objects of the Father's love because we are in Christ. We have eternal hope because we are in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that the best thing that can ever happen to you? Leadership does not matter unless God calls you to it. Functions, purposes, whatever we want to put there, does not matter. Christ matters. What He does matters. The root of all our striving and all our performance can be summed up in these two questions that I felt the Lord put on my heart. First question, am I good enough? Am I loved and accepted by God and by my brothers and sisters? And I really feel this strongly in my heart tonight. In Christ, yes. In Christ, yes. Second question, are the things that I do for God good enough? I want to follow up that with a question. Is Christ's works enough? What He did on the cross, is it enough? Christ saves and sets free. He's a miracle worker. He can do all things. He's the Creator God. And He is in you, and you are in Him. And He does the works Himself, and also through you and me. The Father says this about Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In Christ, God is pleased with you, His child. Let's maybe close our eyes. I want to encourage us. Let's be a Joshua generation that does not shrink back from anything that God wants to do in and through us. And let us walk in the purposes He has for us. And I'm not saying Joshua generation is the only church. That's not what I'm saying. We just want to be a Jesus-loving people who follow the Bible. Simple as that. But I want to encourage us, let's not be a striving generation, which is a generation of jealousy, envy, competing, pride, performance, where enough is never enough, and nothing will ever be good enough. If we want to strive, let's strive for godliness with contentment, full of zeal and passion for our King, content with what He wants to do in and through us. In Christ, my hope is found, not in anything else in this world. Let's pray together. Your Father, we ask that you come and help us, Lord. We need your help. We need your help, Lord. Lord, my prayer is just simply come and root us in Christ. Come and root us in who we really are, which is your children, God. Lord, we thank you that you sent your only Son to die on the cross to come and save us, Lord. We all need a Savior, God, and we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just want to pray if there's anything that is a heaviness on our hearts tonight, Lord, please come and take that away because you want to encourage us tonight. You want to point us back to what you want for us, Lord. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Let's maybe just keep our eyes closed. Just want to give an opportunity if there is anyone here tonight and you have never given your heart to God. I just want to encourage you tonight that all of us have sinned. There is not one person here tonight who has not sinned. And as I mentioned just now, that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of eternal life is in Christ Jesus. And if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and you confess Him with your mouth, you will be saved.